Well, good morning. Glad to have the privilege to stand before you, deliver a portion of God's Word. Hopefully we can be edified and build up, learn a couple things while we're at it, glorify God above all things. Good to be here. I hope everyone is in good spirits. Now, when I say that, I'm assuming that you are. I'm confident that you could be, but I don't know for certain. I haven't talked to everyone this morning. We kind of throw that word around, hope, a lot, not really understanding what it means sometimes. There was a now very iconic picture of our president during his campaign. It was in red, white, and blue. It was kind of an artistic style. And it just had his face kind of looking like this, kind of noble, and it says, hope. And it was very effective. I mean, you couldn't go 2 miles without seeing that on a bumper sticker or something. It kind of unified a lot of people who were looking for some sort of improvement, some sort of change. They did not like the way things were. And I'll tell you this, it was a slam dunk campaign because people are always looking, they're always hopeful for something better. It's the nature of humanity. Each one of us wants things to improve. And we as Christians do as well. Our hope is that everyone will obey the gospel and will be saved and can be with us in eternal salvation. That's the hope. It's not realistic. It's not going to happen, but that's our hope. And so hope is a very strong, powerful emotion in society today. So what about the biblical hope? And we're going to touch on that. Well, from the Greek word elpis means favorable and confident expectation. When you hope for something, you are confident it will occur. That's that root word where that comes from. The popular definition, desire plus expectation of the unseen. I desire something and I expect it even though I don't have it in front of me. I desire to retire in a good financial state. I think we all do. We all hope that when we retire, we can be comfortable and we don't have to continue on doing manual labor in our 70s and 80s. That is our hope. If we expect that, we have to be somehow working towards that, don't we? We have to be working right now to achieve that. So that's what hope is. It's not, well, I hope that I'll retire wealthy and that I'll be comfortable and then not do anything about it, because that's not going to happen. The chances of you winning the lottery are pretty slim. I wouldn't count on that if I were you. What about the Bible? What's it say about hope? Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. For we were saved in this hope, But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And that's us as Christians. We don't see eternal glory. We don't see Jesus today. We hope for that home in heaven when we die. If we could see it, if it was always in front of us, it wouldn't be called hope. And that's what the Apostle Paul is telling us. It's this hope of the unseen that drives us. We depend on that unseen hope. It's an important aspect of what it means to be a Christian. There's so much that we have to just take on faith. And that's why the world does not understand why we believe what we believe, because we don't see it. Because God isn't starting each morning by waking everyone up and talking to us and telling us what we need to do today. He's done with that. He communicates to us solely through his word, the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So of three things that we are instructed to abide in, faith, hope, and love. We should be hopeful. We should have that attitude. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Christ Jesus in the sight of our God and Father. So two words that are close together in those two verses I read, hope and faith. We have faith. We have faith that God is just, that he will do what he says. We hope that we will have that home in heaven, that we will be saved when we die. So those two are very closely related. I wanted to point that out. The degree of hope that one has reveals much about the state of their spiritual wellness. So, there was a book, I haven't read it, Dante's Inferno, but I know some of the popular things that are in that book, and one of them is when the main character goes to hell in this story, there is a sign that says, abandon all hope. That is pretty right on, because if we are standing at the entrance of hell, as it were, there is no more hope for us. It is eternally gone. Abandon all hope. We are nothing without that hope. What about those without hope? Such as the Gentiles without God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Can you imagine? Having no hope and being without God. We can imagine some pretty terrible places. There are some pretty rundown places in this world where there is no more law, where it's every man for himself. I can, you know, maybe think of New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, when all the law enforcement, they were too scared to stay. It was too dangerous. They wanted to get out of there. And all of the murdering and the looting and the evil behavior that went on because these people had abandoned all hope. They have no hope. And that's with a world with God. Can you imagine if this world had no knowledge of God? Where would we be without that? Where would we be without God in our lives protecting us? That's what the Apostle Paul says the Gentiles were, without God. No hope. Those who sorrow greatly over the loss of loved ones. And we experience this today. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as though as others who have no hope. I went to a funeral one time, and the first brother of the deceased gets up there, and he is very happy. He's retelling all the wonderful things that him and his brother did in their life, and all the great characteristics of his brother, and the funny things that he would say, and all the things that they would do together. And he talked about their last day together, and he said, it was just a perfect day. We had such a great time. We really enjoyed it. I couldn't imagine a better last day with my brother. And you know, this first man, he considers himself a Christian. He is spiritual, and he attends church and whatnot. He sits down. His brother comes up, who is an atheist. And he is weeping. He is crying. He can't control himself. And he says, I don't understand how this can happen. And he can't go on, and he can't speak. And he says two sentences, and that's it. He sits down, and he's unconsolable. And that's pretty much the difference that we're talking about here. We know there is a life beyond the one that we're living right now. And thank God for that. Because if this life was all there was, It's a pretty terrible place. Now, there are certainly joys, there are certainly happiness that we experience, but I mean, look, our bodies fall apart. Nothing that we seem to put together seems to work for very long. We always have to labor and work, and there's never any rest, and we're constantly moving from one thing to another, and we're stressed out, and we're hungry, and we're tired, and it's a lot of work. And if this was all there was, that would be a shame. But we know that there is a home beyond this one, and if we are faithful, we can get there. And we know that when our loved ones pass away, if they are faithful, we will see them again. And that's what we want. That's what we're shooting for, to be with our loved ones for eternity. That's the hope that we have. Those living with hope, such as those living in Christ. What about 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 5? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We have that because Jesus died for us. That's awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to a body that doesn't fall apart, to a world more beautiful than I can even imagine, all because of what Jesus has done for us. That's our hope. What about those who have been given hope by grace? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. It is that grace of God that gives us the hope that we have, and we are thankful for that. Enabling them to rejoice in hope. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. We rejoice in the hope that we have. We are patient when troubles come, when bad times are here. We must always continue steadfastly in prayer. That's how we maintain that living hope. This ought to describe every Christian today. What about those who with little hope? Those who have no reason to hope. What about them? Well, they rarely think about their hope because they are so weighed down with worldliness and worldly cares. Luke chapter 21, verse 34 says, "But take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that day may come unto you unexpectedly." So there are those that are so concerned with the state of this world, with the state of themselves, with their own life, that they can't even think about their own hope. They can't even think about what's going to happen to them. The warning is that we need to take heed, not carouse, not be drunken, not have a disorderly life. We need to focus on that great hope. And that can describe many Christians today. Even though they're spiritual, even though they have faith, they're still very worldly, and they're not focusing on the things they should be focusing on. So we want to remember that, lest the day of judgment come on us unexpectedly. We want to be prepared for that. Yet just as hope and love are critical to our spiritual well-being, so also is our hope. I'm going to talk about the importance of hope. And one of the catalysts for this lesson, as far as I was concerned, and reading a lot of stories about bullying, it's a popular topic today. And what's really caught the attention of the news is specifically the bullying of homosexuals that has led to suicide. Terrible, terrible things. It's a shame when... It's a shame when bullying ever occurs. It's a real shame if Christians and those who proclaim to love God and follow Jesus would participate in that because of what could happen. When you demoralize somebody, when you make them feel as if there's nothing more to live for, that they have to take their own life, that's a terrible, terrible thing. We don't want that on our hands. We as Christians love each other. We want to save the world, not to humiliate them. But that's just part of the story. The world says today the cure for this is to accept homosexuality. What does the Bible say, though? We have to be very careful about this. In 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, we'll start with there. Flee sexual immorality. Something that every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Something we have to be careful of, sexual immorality. The second thing, skip back up to verse number 9, chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's the bad news. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Chapter 7, verse 2, maybe the most important. Nevertheless, because of this sexual immorality that's in the world that we want to avoid, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. That is the cure. We need to contain the sexual relationship in marriage. So, now that we know that it is wrong, we can't go with the world. We can't accept it. We can't promote it. We still need to love the homosexuals. We need to love any adulterers, any sinners that have engaged in sexual sin. What is the hope then? Chapter 6, verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. That is the hope. You weren't born like that. You can fix it. You can give yourself to God. You can be faithful, and you can be justified. So the problem then is we're given two options for hope. Either accept that lifestyle or come to the truth. So here's the problem that I see. If we as Christians know a homosexual, and we do, all of us do, each one of us, I can guarantee it. If we tell them that, yes, I'm accepting of your behavior. Yes, you were born that way. I'm sorry that people pick on you. I'm here to support you. If you do that, and that person either reads the Bible or is humiliated or decides that they cannot go on, you have contributed to stealing their hope. Our job as Christians is to give hope to people. We must tell them, I love you. However, what you're doing is wrong. There's only one hope, that's in Jesus. Encourage them to come to the truth. And we can do that lovingly. We can do that in a Christ-like manner. Because if somebody realizes that they want to take their life because they have no hope, that's a terrible thing. We want to make sure that we give hope. So that was kind of the impetus for this lesson, but it's larger than that. It encompasses all sin. And what we should realize is that some of the verses in the Bible that strike us as being hopeless, for instance, when the Bible talks about there's only one cause for divorce, that's for adultery. We don't have the liberty to leave our spouses because we don't like them or we fall in love with them. We might think that that's a hopeless thing, but the hope there is that no matter what, we can overcome anything in our marriage, anything whatsoever. Jesus makes the case for adultery. That's it. Anything else, you can overcome it. You can have a loving marriage. You can have the marriage that God wants you to have. There's the hope. For motivation, we have the hope of one day being like Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God. It has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We don't know what Jesus is like right now. We don't know the body, the spiritual body that he has. We don't know what's waiting for us. But I can tell you one thing. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. We have to have confidence. Think about this. God gave us this beautiful world, right? we go out, we take a drive, especially on gorgeous days like we have today, and we can just experience the beauty of nature. We could say, wow, glorify God. This is fantastic. And this is the world. What's waiting for us? What kind of beauty does God have in store? I assure you, he didn't blow it all on this place. There's going to be a great place, a great time coming. We have hope that we're going to see it. Number two, this hope serves to motivate us to purify ourselves. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself just as he is pure. We have the hope. We want to see that great place. We need to purify ourselves to get there. That's our motivation. Remember, the parable of the treasure in the field. Man buys a field, sees that there's treasure. He's looking to buy a field, and he sees treasure. And he says, oh, man, there's a lot of money here. I'm going to buy this field. I don't care what it costs. It's worth it. That's the kind of motivation that we need to have. There's that treasure in heaven. We need to do whatever it takes to get it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Without a vibrant hope, we have little or no motivation to grow spiritually. And why would we? If we weren't guaranteed anything beyond our current life, why would we want to grow? Why would we want to improve ourselves? We wouldn't. For strength, hope provides patience, endurance. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor, and love, and patience and hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope leads to eagerly waiting for that which is to come. Romans chapter 8, verse 24, if we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. We're eagerly waiting for that hope to come. Without a vibrant hope, we have little or no strength to persevere to the end. So we are always hopeful as Christians. For joy, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We can rejoice. We can have joy. Such joyful hope leads to patience in tribulation because we have that beautiful place. Remember, Paul says, I do not consider the trials of this world worthy of the glory that is to come. Or I'm sorry, he does consider it worthy. I blew that verse, but the important thing is we rejoice in hope, we're patient in tribulation. No matter what troubles come to us, it's all going to be worth it. All the work that we have to put toward getting to heaven will be worth it. That's the hope that we have. Without a hope, our Christian lives are joyless, sometimes filled with despair. Since hope is so important to our spiritual well-being, what can we do to increase our hope? A man can live 30 days without food. I could probably go 45. A man can live 30 days. A man or woman can live 3 days without water. That's a guarantee. You need water. A man cannot live 1 second without hope. Not 1 second. And everyone in this building is the same way. If we did not have hope, we would not have any desire to go on and continue. We can't live 1 second without hope. And that's what the world is dealing with. They don't have hope. They are just a second away from their demise, whether it's self-inflicted or whether it's caused by something else. They don't want to live anymore. We need to give them that hope. That's our job as Christians, spreading the gospel. What gives us hope? Reading the scriptures. The scriptures are intended to produce hope. This is the good news. A lot of people use this book to bash others with, and that's not what it's for. It is to spread the good news of hope that we have. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for whatever things were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. The patience and comfort of the scriptures give us hope. Paul had reference to the Old Testament, how much more true regarding the New Testament. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Just as faith comes by the word of God, so hope comes by the word of God. faith and hope from the Word of God. By focusing on the grace to come is another way we can increase our hope. Resting our hope fully on the grace to come when Jesus returns. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our hope fully upon that grace. That's what our hope is on. That's what drives us. That's what keeps us going. That's what helps us to do the best job that we can do throughout the day. That's what helps us to love one another, to be charitable, to continue on in your marriage, even though it can be very difficult, to love your children, even though they frustrate you, to be kind to your strangers, even though they do wicked things to you, to pray to God, even though you're experiencing tribulation, even though it doesn't feel like you can go on. The grace that is brought to us by the revelation of Christ, that is what we hope for. That's why we do what we do. What is the grace to be brought to us when he comes? Well, we're going to be resurrected. When we die, that's not the end of the story. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, considering those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of God, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We will all be raised at the end. Those who are faithful, those who are not faithful, will all be raised, will all return to life, will all be judged for what we have done in our bodies. The revealing of our glory together with Christ, Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The heavenly city, we're looking for that heavenly city whose builder is God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God is preparing a city for us. I don't know how true this is. This is something I just kind of think about from time to time. God created the universe in 6 days. Everything that we see, 6 days. Jesus said when he died, I go to prepare a place for you. That was about 2,000 years ago. If God created what we see now in 6 days, and Jesus has been preparing a place for us for 2,000 years, how awesome do you think that place is going to be? We can't imagine it. We have no capability of understanding what heaven will be like. But we're looking forward to that city. We're doing what we can to get there. It includes a new heaven and a new earth. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 13-14. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, look forward to these things. Be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blemish. It's worth it. It's worth it. No matter what work we put towards it, gain to heaven, it's worth it. With access to the water and life and tree of life in the presence of God forever. That's in Revelations. Rest our hope fully on the grace to come by contemplating it often. Go ahead. Think about it. Think about that heavenly place. Think about what it's going to be like to be with our loved ones who are faithful, to be with God forever, to associate with the apostles and the disciples that we read about in the Bible, to be with the ones that we love here in this congregation, to always be happy, to never cry again, to never grow weary or grow tired in that wonderful place. Go ahead, think about it. That's what we rest our hope on. We'll go ahead and wrap this up. Our spiritual health is reflected by the quality of our hope. If someone is spiritually, if they're just always in a great mood, if they're just a very strong spiritual person, it's because they have that strong hope. It's not because that they fear God, that they think they have to put on a brave face all the time. No, it's because they genuinely hope for the promises that God has made. Does our hope for the future look beyond the difficulties and end of this life? If all we're hoping for is a comfortable retirement, we need to shoot higher. Shoot higher. We need to think about what else we're going to do when the life is over. That's what we need to be working on right now. So a couple verses as we wrap up. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the prayer for us today. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In a moment, we're going to sing the song of invitation, number 313. Number 313, go ahead and turn to that now. How can we be found blameless? Well, first of all, we need to obey the word of God. God tells us that we need to hear, we need to believe, we need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to repent of our sins, repent of our past life. Remember, the Bible says, such were some of you, but now you are clean. That's what we need to do. We can put away our past life. Our sin will follow us no more. We are then baptized in that water. We are buried in the water. We are brought back into life. Our sins washed away. And we need to be faithful for the rest of our lives. And remember, for those of you who are with us Wednesday, we talked about confessing your sins, forgiving your sins. Even if you've been baptized and you've been sinful again and you've lived a sinful life, you can be forgiven of that sin. You can have confidence that God will forgive you. No matter how terrible the sin may be, God is waiting for you to repent, to come to him again. That's the invitation that we offer this morning. If you're in any way subject to the gospel call of Christ, we invite you to come forth. We hope you do it without delay. We hope you do it now. If you need to think about it, you can come to us at any time, and we would be joyfully happy to help you as you become a member of that church of God. If you need to make it right with God, and you need to use this time to ask for his forgiveness, do so. If you need any help from the church, we are here to help you. So let's go ahead and stand while we sing this song.